readings, which give us the high points of the whole story of Scripture that leads to Jesus. And we're going to do that for two reasons. First, to dispel the idea that there is an Old Testament and a New Testament God. That the steadfast love and mercy we see in Jesus in the New Testament is not new. The Old Testament clearly demonstrates God's steadfast love and mercy. The second reason is to hear our own stories in the ancient stories, to provide an opportunity for us to connect to the story, the mystery of God, so that we can understand the significance of our lives as part of the body of Christ and the great pattern, what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. Let us listen for God's word to us this day from portions of Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Every family has its stories. Tragedies, comedies, tall tales, legends. Good or bad, they matter to us because they explain us somehow. They help us find our places in the history of the world. These are my people, and this is how they lived. And in many cases, they help us understand why we are the way we are. Telling family stories, we rehearse the family virtues and we reveal the family flaws. We discover things about ourselves as we do. And one thing in particular, that even when we think we have the stage all to ourselves and are acting all on our own, there is nothing new under the sun. We are simply the most recent players in the age-old dramas of life and death that unite us to every other human being who ever walked the earth. The first story from the book of Genesis is one of those ancient family stories that seems to tell us some true things about ourselves and about our ambition and appetite, our curiosity and daring, about how blindly we can make life-changing decisions, and how sorry we can be once we see what we've done. Most of us learned the story when we were very young as the story of the fall, about how Adam and Eve fell from the grace of eternal life in paradise to everyday hell on earth through their disobedience. Maybe you learned a slightly more sophisticated version when you were a little older, that the story of the fall is the story of how original sin came into the world. Because Adam and Eve made the decision they did, we are all somehow contaminated by our kinship with them, infected with congenital germs of evil and death that are always waiting to break out in us if we're not very stern with ourselves, if we do not remain on our best and most holy behavior. But neither of these readings is actually supported by the text itself. Nowhere in all the Bible, in fact, are the words fall or original sin ever used to refer to this story. Both of those labels were applied much, much later in an effort to make sense of the story, to discover its meaning and learn its lesson so that humankind would not keep on falling forever. The story itself is not actually concerned with such things. It is not a thinly disguised piece of systematic theology. It is a story about God and about humankind, about choices and their consequences. Our text this morning is one of our family stories, one of our sacred stories. It tells us of things about ourselves and about God that we need to know. It tells us not only how we fail, we already know that pretty well. It tells us how we and God respond to our failure. Adam and Eve did not die at the end of that story. They went on. But how? How did they go on after they had defied the God who was not only their maker, but their only friend? How did they fashion a future from such a short and sorry past? And how in the world did they live through the loss of paradise? Paradise. Even for those of us who have never been there, the word conjures up green ferns and blue skies and warm water and soft breezes. Peace and plenty of it. Plenty of everything, including the strong, kind presence of God. Paradise was that place where there was no fear or shame, where there was nothing to hide and nothing to hide from. It was a place where nothing had ever been broken, where there were no chips or dents or scars, a place where everything was still whole and holy and pleasing to God. The best way the writer of Genesis could think of to describe it was to say that paradise was the kind of place where you could walk around naked, where you could skinny dip to your heart's content. It was that safe. So safe, in fact, that it might never even occur to you that you were naked, at least as long as you stayed away from the fruit of one particular tree. But you heard the story. Eve did not stay away. She and the serpent engaged in the first religious debate recorded in history, after which she bit into the fruit of the one particular tree, and nothing was ever whole again. Paradise was lost, and there was no going back. They discover that they are naked. The writer's way of saying they had moved from safety to shame. They do manage to cover themselves and then to run away and hide so that when the Lord God seeks their company in the cool of the day, he has to look for them. "Where are you?" God asks. And the alibis begin to fly. Adam blames God for giving him Eve and then blames Eve for handing him the fruit, while Eve blames the serpent for tricking her. No one takes responsibility. Joseph Albo, a 15th century Jewish philosopher and rabbi, believes the real sin that happened in the garden was not the eating of the fruit. The real sin was not taking responsibility. But Adam and Eve don't die, at least not right away. Does that tell us something about God's mercy? While the man and the woman had broken their relationship with God and were trying to hide from God, God continued to move toward them, searching for them, as though God didn't know where they were hiding. Paradise is lost, and what was or what could have been is gone forever. How do you survive something like that? Well, there are a couple of ways, actually. You can, as we have seen, find someone else to blame for what has happened to you. That way you get to be angry instead of hurt and afraid. But you're also able to remain a victim. If someone else has ruined your life, after all, then it is up to someone else to repair it, which does not leave you much to do but sit around and wait to be fixed. On the other hand, you can blame yourself, punishing yourself in a number of different ways. You can keep track of your failures, withdrawing from life a little more with each one of them until you are afraid to come out of hiding long enough to try anything at all. Or you can take the opposite tack, driving yourself harder and harder to make up for your losses, settling for nothing less than perfection in yourself and those around you. You can blame paradise itself, convincing yourself that it was not so great after all. Or you can blame God, pointing out that God is the manufacturer after all, and that if God expects us to be different, then God should have made a different world in the first place. I mean, who made the snake? But how does the story end? What happens to Adam and Eve after all the finger-pointing and the pronouncement of punishment? Having lost paradise, having run out of bushes and alibis to hide behind, having all but killed themselves through guilt and exposure, Adam and Eve decided to let God clothe them. And so God did. The days of peace and plenty were gone for good. But using all the scraps at hand, they managed to build first an altar and then a home, to bake bread from the wild wheat of the field and to bear 5 children. Using the pieces of their broken past, they made a future for themselves and for their descendants in the world outside of Eden, a world we continue to live in today. No longer a perfect paradise. It is a world full of chips and dents and scars. Even where we have glued it back together, you can still see the cracks. But in its own way, it is lovely. A mosaic of many colors, a mended work of art, a testament to the God who is willing to work with broken pieces and calls us to do the same. This is our story, a story with everything human in it, promise, failure, blame, guilt, forgiveness, healing, hope. A story about us and a story about our God, who did not create us just once, but goes on creating us forever, putting our pieces back together so that we are never ruined, never entirely, and never for good. As we begin our Lenten journey, where are you? Are you sitting around waiting to be fixed as you blame someone else? Are you hiding from others because of your failures? Are you hiding from your own responsibility? Are you attempting to hide from God? Where are you? Where do you want to be? What do you want to be like at the end of these 40 days of Lent? Listen to our ancient family story. Give up hiding. Give up shame. Allow God to clothe you and continue creating you, mending what has been broken. By Easter, just think of where you could be. To the glory of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.